Good afternoon. I'll call to order the House Committee on Rules for Monday, March 25, 2013. First item of business is to open a hearing, public hearing on House Bill 2018. Representative Kenny Geyer, please. And Ms. Seiler, what is the bill, please?
Yes, members. House Bill 2018 requires statements of independent expenditure to be filed with the Secretary of State's office using the electronic filing system or ORSTAR.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Alyssa Kenny Geyer. I represent House District 46, which is parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland. I'm here introducing this bill on independent expenditures, which has a big bipartisan support and sponsorship of it. The independent expenditures are a growing force in politics around the country. They are organizations that can collect money from people and spend it to either support or defeat a candidate or a measure, but they do not have communication with those candidates. There's a lot of concern about independent expenditures and the role they play and the lack of transparency. Because Oregon doesn't have contribution limits, this is not as big of an issue in Oregon as it is in other parts of the country. Many people just choose to give unlimited amounts directly to a campaign, but it's still a problem. 2018 is a small but meaningful fix that will shed sunlight on our elections by giving Oregonians faster access to see that all the money, where the money is spent in their elections. There was a total of $1.6 million of independent expenditures reported online by committees. But the independent expenditures reported via paper form was nearly 500,000 last year in 2012. The issue with this is that if it's given on paper, the Secretary of State's office has to then scan it, and it's a PDF, and it doesn't go into the ORSTAR system where you can easily find it. So it's very hard for people to go in and find any record of what these expenditures were. In order to view these paper contributions, they have to navigate to a very obscure page of the Secretary of State site. So the other issue that I discovered after introducing this bill and talking with the Secretary of State's office is that there's also some lack of clarity about when the independent expenditures need to report. If they've spent at least $750 on an issue or a campaign here, they have to report it, but it's not clear at what point, within what time limit they have to report it. And if they make another expenditure of, say, $500 after that, do they have to report that again? So we would like to do some amendments. I'd like to work with the Secretary of State's office in doing some amendments, but I hope that you will keep this on track because I think it's a really important issue. And I would love to stay and see the other testimony behind me, but I've actually got another committee that I'm supposed to be in.
All right. Thank you for bringing the bill forward. Any questions for our colleague? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm also going to, while we're here, open a public hearing on House Bill 3028, which is an identical bill to 2018, which we already opened. So we'll do both at once. Two other witnesses, Noah Manger and Kathy Eaton, please.
Kind of eats on the ground.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Noah Monger. I'm the program director at the Oregon Bus Project. The Bus Project engages new people, young people in democracy here in Oregon, and I'm here today to encourage you to support House Bill 2018 to increase transparency in Oregon's elections. There's not much more I can add other than what Representative Kenny Geyer just said, but I will say that the entry point for many young Oregonians, and the reason why we care about this, is that the entry point for young Oregonians is the first elections that they get to vote in. And we want to make sure that these first experiences with our election system are really positive, that they build trust in our government and instill the belief that each vote truly counts. One of the best ways we can do this is by making our elections as transparent as possible. Oregon's really lucky to have a system like ORSTAR, a tremendous online database of all the campaign transactions that go on in this state. But as we heard, for transactions from these independent groups, those aren't included. Instead, you have to navigate through many pages on the Secretary of State's website to find scanned PDFs of these records. It's just not very user-friendly. In 2012, nearly $500,000 were reported via these online or via these paper forms that were then scanned. And in 2010, that amount was over $900,000. This is not a Democratic problem or a Republican problem. Rather, these independent expenditures support candidates of all stripes, and every independent expenditure should be held to the same standard. Oregonians look to ORSTAR to understand the financial activity behind our elections. This information is crucial to making informed decisions as voters. House Bill 2018 is a small but meaningful fix that will bring the regulation of IEs in line with the way we do everything else here in Oregon. It will increase the transparency of our elections in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm sorry I mispronounced your name.
That's, everyone does.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, my name is Kathy Eaton. I represent the League of Women Voters of Oregon. There are four things that we'd like to bring to your attention. Because the League supports 2018, it provides the information that voters really need to have about supporting or opposing candidates. First of all, we encourage legislation that improves methods of financing public political campaigns in order to ensure the public's right to know. Two, we support legislation that combats corruption and undue influence. And three, support legislation that enables candidates to compete more equitably for public office. And four, legislation that promotes citizen participation in the political process. We believe that 2018 meets these criteria, and we support it and ask for your support.
Senator Berger?
No, I don't have questions, but I do have questions to the Secretary of State's office.
Oh, okay. Any questions for this panel? Yes, Representative.
This may be a question for the Secretary of State too, but let me ask it and see if they know. As I read this bill, it looks like it refers to expenditures by these independent committees. Is there anything in this bill or somewhere else that requires these committees to tell the Secretary of State who made contributions to them from which they make these expenditures?
Chair Garrett, members of the committee, my understanding is that this bill does not include anything.
I'm sorry.
My understanding is that this bill does not include that language.
And follow up? Yeah, and there's nothing else that you're aware of that requires that in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
That was enough.
For this panel, and then we'll ask someone from the Secretary of State's office to come forward. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
I see at least one representative, two, from the Secretary's office, if you wouldn't mind coming up. Perils of coming to committee. Now you're going to testify. Representative Berger?
Yeah. I have a bunch of questions. One, how does it currently work, and is there... I mean, is this just like a separate, here's the Secretary of State's website and here's a tab that says independent expenditures? Is that what we have now? And wouldn't there be a way to clock it back to where it was spent, or is there some way to make it more useful to people who are looking for that? I guess that's the substance of my question.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brenda Bays. I'm the elections deputy director. Here's how independent expenditures work. A person will go out and make an expenditure for a political committee or a candidate or something like that, and after they reach a $750 amount, within 7 days, they have to file a paper form with our office and itemize out those independent expenditures. It is currently not in ORSTAR, and otherwise, like most committees do, they go in and enter the information. It's just a paper format. So we scan that in, and you just click on the part where the link where it talks about independent expenditures.
Hello?
So what you're envisioning here with this bill is just simply it would be... they'd go into ORSTAR and do the same thing, only it wouldn't be a paper that would scan. So nothing really changes. This is a pretty straightforward thing. It still would go under a link that says independent expenditures, and there still wouldn't be that connection between where the money came from and who it was spent on or against. That gets tricky, too.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, I don't have the technical people in the office here with me today. I thought about bringing them. However, I didn't.
So that's okay. I'm not sure how they would set that up,
but I'm not sure how they would set that up.
So this, okay. This doesn't seem like.
Representative Kenemer?
A related question. Are they required to indicate who they are when they send this literature out as an independent expenditure? Call themselves a name, a committee, or anything, or further identify? As I understand, they're free to send out information that has no disclaimer, no notice of who is behind it. I guess that's what I'm really trying to get at, and I just wanted to confirm that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kimmery, that they are not required to indicate on there who the material is from.
Representative Barnhart?
And this bill does not correct that.
No, it does not.
Yeah, I think you just asked my question. Let me ask a different one, if I may.
Sure.
I'm on your website, and I'm looking at this thing called Elections Division. Where do I find, how do I find these independent expenditures that you have carefully scanned and put on the website?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, it will be under the campaign finance activity.
Okay. Campaign finance activity. Is that under ORSTAR?
ORSTAR.
Okay.
ORSTAR.
Public search?
Just hit ORSTAR.
I hit ORSTAR, okay. So I'm in ORSTAR. Wants me to log in.
Public search.
Okay, so I go back. I probably can't do it now because I'm precluded from that. Okay, now I'm in the public search area. Now what do I do?
We'll know in a moment.
Secretary of State has educational programs.
But Mr. Chair, I'm really trying to figure out how you would do this. Until today, I didn't know that this stuff was even findable at all because I've never found any of it.
And you're testing the proposition that it is findable.
That it is findable. Yes, yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm doing. And I think my point's been illustrated, Mr. Chair, and we can move on to the next item.
I'm delighted to hear that. Is it fair to say this bill, we're just changing the filing requirements, right? We're not changing the information that would be accessible to a member of the public who wants to go into the system and find it. It's just a matter of how this data gets inputted, I hate that word, but inputted into the system.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Deborah.
Just taking it a step further, thank you,
Mr.
Chair.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So how would the Secretary feel about us taking it a step further? Do you know? Does she have a position on this?
Chair Garrett, Representative Dembro, my name is Gina Zedlick from the Secretary of State's office, and the Secretary did not put forth this bill, but is supportive of this effort if this would increase transparency, and she is supportive of this effort.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Could I inquire what was the motivation for this bill? What are we trying to solve?
Chair Garrett, Representative Jensen, I think my understanding of the motivation, and it seems that this has been an interest of a number of representatives and senators, including the Secretary of State, so I'll speak only for the Secretary of State, but my understanding is that it would just give, everyone could just go on ORSTAR and find what they need. They could go to one place, whereas there's a slight differentiation in how these things are, how independent expenditures are currently reported. We do put them online, but it's just filed a little differently, and this would streamline it.
Okay. Representative, this is brought to us by Representative Kenny Geyer, who actually finished testifying and left, I think, before you came in.
Oh, and Senator Jensen, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Representative, I just elevated him again, sir.
I see my name on.
Oh, you're also. My apologies. I did not check my. I didn't check.
Was there guilt by association?
Yeah. And I'd be happy to explain my motivation on this, but since signing up on the bill, I have had some time to look at and go into this, and I would make an observation, Mr. Chair, that at least in my world that I live in, I have some people who contribute to or who may do independent expenditures in campaigns who wouldn't have the vaguest idea what an electronic filing system, you know, would be. So what are you going to do with them? Throw them in jail?
No. Representative Garrett, Representative Jensen, no.
That'll be the
throw
AG.
Them in jail. Brenda, do you want to
is
comment on
not
how
a folded provision?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, if someone were not to report an independent expenditure and our office received a complaint from someone stating that they knew they were aware of an independent expenditure by this individual, we would contact that individual and they would need to file independent expenditures with our office, and depending on when the date of it, when it occurred, happened past the $750, there may or may not be civil penalties assessed.
My motivation, you know, for this is I'm personally not all that gung-ho about independent expenditures. I've had both the occasion to have them in my favor, and I've had the occasion to have them used against me. The thing is, as a candidate, independent expenditures limit my accountability if they're made for me or in my favor. They limit my accountability for what is said. If it comes through the regular process, I'm accountable for anything that might be said that goes out because it's coming out of, you know, now the committee to elect or whatever terminology that we would use. But this could be making, you know, and does sometimes make wild accusations and promises that the candidate is not prepared to defend and furthermore doesn't want to have anything to do with. So my personal, you know, reasons was I just dislike independent expenditures. And anything we can do that would discourage them, I would, you know, like. Now, unlike everybody else, I think, here, I had the good or bad fortune of coming in during the term limit era, but not only the term limit era, in a year when we had financial limits on the amount that could be contributed to a candidate. And there were a number of personal expenditures, you know, in excess of $10,000 in that particular campaign that I had no way to rebut because I didn't know who they came from. At least with this, I'd know who they came from, so I could call them dirty names or whatever. If they were in my favor, I would have the ability to tell them that isn't how I feel or how I believe. So that my reason, you know, for being on the bill and my concern about independent expenditures. I do recommend. I do think there is. The expectation is kind of here that everybody be savvy about the electronic filing and such is not necessarily the case, at least with some crusty old logger up in the mountains someplace.
Okay.
Fair point. Any further questions? Representative Berger.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think there's, at the heart of this effort is a good idea. I'm under the definition section in the ORSs on this, and I'm not sure that an independent expenditure is well defined and who reports it, and there's a lot. I think this is a really worthy effort, but it's, this bill isn't going to get us there. But I would encourage the opponents of this bill, I'm busy, thanks, to move forward to make this not just some obscure report, but some useful tool for electors, because I think it would be of interest. It's just... I'm looking up what is an expenditure, and that's not real clear. And
it's not. I've actually encountered that in the last election.
Yeah. So there's a lot more work here, but I think the heart of it is a good idea.
Do I understand that you're working with Representative Kenny Geyer on amendments? Okay. Thank you very much. So we'll see what comes back before we take action on the bill. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Listening to the discussion, I'd be very interested in having this committee entertain the idea that the independent expenditure should identify who's paying for them and be disclosed on their advertisements and identify their source of funding. I don't know if that's something that...
I believe we have a constitutional issue in the state with requiring that type of disclosure. At least requiring a person funding an expenditure to disclose his or her identity. I believe that we have been advised by the Attorney General that we cannot do that.
We can't ask?
But we could.
Can't compel it.
Interesting.
But we could require them to identify who's paying for the expenditure.
I don't know the answer to that, but that's a different question. Any other questions? All right, thank you both for showing up. Okay. I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2018 and House Bill 3028. And, while we wait for Representative, I believe Representative Parrish is on her way down to speak to the next bill, just for the committee's information, we have an agenda change for this coming Wednesday. We'll meet at the same time in Hearing Room F, and we'll be in joint meeting with the Senate Rules Committee to hear Senate Bill 822, which deals with PERS. Any questions about that?
Yeah. And we are scheduled to go start at 3. There is the potential for going long, depending on public testimony. So just to be prepared for scheduling that evening.
As in the day after tomorrow?
Correct. And we will...
People want to talk about that?
We will hear the... the bills and memorials that were scheduled for Wednesday. We just have to find a different day to do that.
Those be carried over?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll just stand at ease for a minute while we wait for one of our colleagues. Welcome, Representative Matthews. I'll reopen a public hearing on House Bill 3028 and also open a public hearing on House Bill 2419. Representative Matthews, we heard testimony earlier on your bill, House Bill 3028, which is also the same as House Bill 2018. So you're welcome to add your testimony to that and also to speak to your other bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Greg Matthews, State Representative of House District 50, the great city of Gresham. Here today to speak in favor of the bills. The first bill that you had heard, I understand some concerns may have been raised about what this is going to accomplish, perhaps. You know, what both these bills do is, quite honestly, the goal is to create a transparency in the process. In one case, independent expenditures being electronically filed, I just felt like that made sense. It seemed like from expeditious filing, you know, using the means necessary and what's available in technology, just, again, made sense. I felt like that was probably a good thing to do. And talking with some folks that work in the campaign realm, seemed like that was common sense. Maybe it's not, and others have a different opinion. That's completely okay. That's why we're here. The other bill, House Bill 2419, is an extended effort from what we were dealing with last session. And this is really more about what I call rapid reporting. And to be honest, you know, we've tried in the past to do something to create like some sort of downward pressure on some of the spending. I think honestly, you know, I'll just say personally, I have a hard time justifying the monies that are spent in today's races. I think that they're just getting completely out of hand and the general public doesn't understand why that is. To be honest, inside baseball, I don't understand either. It's getting out of hand if it's not already there. In order to do that, you'd have to have contribution limits, and those are difficult to pass, and you know, constitutional amendments and things that would be difficult to do. I think the federal government struggles with it. I think the state struggles with it. But 2419 isn't any of that. But what it does is it recognizes that in these campaigns, there are late end plays and end games. And I want to mention, too, that this bill may be hated by both caucuses or perhaps favored by both caucuses. The goal wasn't to represent one caucus or the other. It was to bring a common sense piece of legislation forward that puts a little pressure and at least creates a situation where we can at least know who the players are late in the game. And it also recognizes that a lot of our treasurers are volunteer treasurers. And they fall under this blanket of restriction or at least authority when it comes to their reporting requirements late in the game. Some of the campaigns are really minimal expenditures, minimal contributions, and yet to put them under the 7-day reporting, well, to be honest, some of our volunteer treasurers have a hard time meeting that that goal. The reason that this bill addresses the, as I say, rapid reporting at large expenditures, and it addresses a $1,000 threshold, is that 80% of all contributions, what we found, this is last session in our research, was 80% of contributions are $1,000 and over in the late stages of a campaign. And so the goal was, why don't we just continue to stay, you know, fairly less restricted on our reporting with the smaller contributions, but go after it a little more, you know, say rapid or a little more, I won't even say extreme, but more aggressive, and try to get it from, you know, the 7 days to a 2 calendar days. So instead of the 14 calendar days, we're trying to get it within the last 7 days, or I'm sorry, instead of 7 days, 14 calendar days and 2 day on the reporting. That's what we're trying to get to, and I apologize. I just confused myself for a moment. So again, what we're trying to do is instead of the 7 day reporting requirement, extend that to 14 days out, and instead of giving folks, you know, the time to report, we're going to 2 day time limit. So it's quick and rapid. And again, the $1,000 makes it, you know, I think doable. I think if you're reporting contributions of $1,000 or receiving contributions of $1,000, that's significant. And to be honest, I just don't think that the election should pass and those things be reported a week later and the system be gamed. And I do apologize if anybody's offended by that, but I think that that's a strategy that's being used in today's world. And it's not used by one party or another. I think it's just used by the system. And like they say, don't hate the players, hate the game. But when we're in the situation where we have the ability to change the rules and we're not in the middle of the game right now, to me, it makes perfect sense to address the issue. So That's the bigger part of the issue, and that's the reason why I'm compelled to testify today is I think House Bill 2419 is needed. And I think it's one area where we can make some gains and make some sense. And so with that, I will say I've entertained other areas of campaign finance reform. I have worked with the Secretary of State and pleased with the work that she's been doing. Also addressed it with the Attorney General and appreciate that effort as well. Didn't get favorable opinions all the way around that would allow us to move forward on some bills. So that's why you don't have those bills in your committee. I just refuse to push legislation that, you know, first of all, would have, you know, challenges at their level, but also perhaps might be ruled to be illegal. That just didn't make sense to me. So we're going to bring you a bill that I think makes sense, and that's 2419. And with that, I appreciate your time, and thank you, and apologize for my delay. I was with Senator Johnson, so thank you.
No problem. Thanks for bringing the bill. I think it does make good sense. We care more about the big ones and reduce some pressure on the small ones, I think, is a good way to calibrate the system. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, this isn't part of the amendment that you have offered, but I'm curious about it. Nevertheless, it would be part of the bill. Apparently, it's part of the existing law, in which it talks about a total of more than $750 in a calendar year. And I'm curious, you have any idea why it's calendar year? Most of the other reporting that we have, if I'm not too far off in my analysis of it, is in an election cycle, either primary or general election. And it might be more appropriate question for the folks from the agency, but for consistency's purposes, I'm wondering if I'm right in my analysis on this, if there'd be objections to amending the legislation to agree with the other reporting.
Chair Garrett, Representative Jensen, I don't know why it was written that way. Like you say, in consistency, what you're saying makes sense. I'd be open to the amendments. As you know, we have some wonderful folks in the building that do a lot of the drafting for us. And so if there wasn't any, you know, legal authority to make it that way or any rule there, I certainly think that what you're suggesting makes sense, and I'd be open to that amendment. I really think that for me personally, I would just like to see some movement on campaign finance reform. I really think that, you know, we talk a good game. A lot of folks say we're trying to get there. You know, we're given, you know, 6 months, and sometimes that's not enough, and we're going to come back in 35 days, and that's not enough, and then we have six more months, and I just, my third term being here, I'm open to do whatever gets us steps forward, and if that's what it would take, Representative, you know, certainly open to that. Thank you.
Representative Berger. And then Representative Kenner.
Thank you, Representative Matthews. You and I have had discussions about this, and I really appreciate how you've stayed at the table on this issue. I want to talk about 2419. I'm one of those folks who has an all-volunteer campaign treasurer, and I'm not as familiar with how this whole system works as some because I don't do it myself. My concern is that he's not available on the weekends, and two-day reporting, is there something in here that gives them, I mean, I can't have him coming to his office to do this on the weekends. If I get a check on a Friday and give it to him, is it then reportable? I mean, have you accounted for that? Because he's a volunteer. I don't want him coming in on the weekends to make Orstar reports.
I understand. Chair Garrett, Representative Berger, your comments well made. I understand, and we have talked about volunteer treasurers. And for folks that don't have a targeted race or perhaps it's just them and their volunteer, I get the relationship. I'd be open to looking at ways to address that, certainly. But again, I really would like to see us make some movement. I appreciate your concerns. And in that scenario where it could be difficult, some folks have volunteer treasurers that aren't anywhere near their district. They're doing a lot of electronic exchanges, or perhaps they're making the deposit themselves and their treasurer has to follow up later with the denomination, you know, the different amounts. I think there's a way to get that conversation, you know, happening. And this is kind of a first blush effort. And this comes out of our efforts from the last session where we had thought, let's come in with a small ask and see where we can go. And weren't able to get there, but we're here again and hope we can. So appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
Representative Kenemer.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Matthews, thank you for staying persistent. Is one of those who's been in some of those highly contested races. I have experience and empathy. I guess a thought here on 2419. There is expedited reporting as the campaign progresses. So how does this differ from what's currently required? It's every, you know, I'm sorry, my wife does the reporting, and I guess I'm not up to snuff.
Representative Kenemer, and let me start by saying thank you. We have partnered on a number of these efforts in the past, and I appreciate that. And in response to your question, there is expedited bargaining as it gets closer to the campaign, and 7 days out, you have that really quick reporting requirement. Yeah. This extends that to 14 days. But it also draws a line between large contributions and regular contribution, mm-hmm. Smaller contributions. So the line's drawn and the threshold's $1,000. Yeah. And so what that does is it kind of softens the burden, I think, on your typical, you know, situation for your typical campaign where your treasurer's not inundated with statements and contributions. And then it also raises the bar of an expectation for those that are receiving these contributions late in the game to make those, you know, basically not instantaneous, but quickly. And again, the goal here is to not hold the election and a week later find out where the money came from, to bring it all into the scope so that, you know, as we can now through OrStar or different means, so that we can see who is behind some of these efforts. And again, that I think speaks to both sides and all sides of the equation. And that's, I think, why we've landed on a pretty good proposal.
Mr. Chair, follow up, please. Which is, I think the second point is that while 14 would be an improvement, with mail-in ballot, I just wonder if it wouldn't be helpful to consider a longer time frame than 14 days. Because, you know, a lot of people are making their decisions on the early publicity.
And Chair Garrett and Representative Kenemer, to respond to that, again, this bill represents a starting point. You know, as you know, with Rules Committee, we are open for business until sine die. So if
yes,
there's a way
are.
That we can extend that out that makes people a little more comfortable about, you know, maybe we could extend that beyond. I just want to say movement on this issue is important to me. Working with partnerships on both sides of the aisle in this building are really important to me, always has been, and I appreciate your comment.
Thank you, Representative, very much. I'm going to temporarily close the public hearing on House Bill 2419. I want to give Representative Parrish a chance to testify on a different bill since she's in committee right now. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3382, and then we'll go back to 2419.
Thank you. Well, Chair Garrett, members of the committee, for the record, Julie Parrish, state rep from House District 37. And the bill you have in front of you, 3382, gets at in-kind contributions and the lack of transparency that is currently set up in, not set up in OrStar, but lack of transparency that OrStar does not allow for people to really get a sense of the in-kind piece. And so I'm probably an OrStar wonk, read it quite often, and pay attention to what's going in and out of there. The average citizen probably has no idea where they can even go find that data, let alone how to navigate how complicated back-checking some of that data is. And so one of the things that was interesting me in this last election cycle was the in-kind contribution piece. And so, you know, what was happening, what I've observed was, you know, if you're in the 30-day reporting window and somebody makes an in-kind contribution, say they're going to pay for a mailer for, you know, paper mailer. So Representative Hicks is going to in-kind you a mailer for your race. He has 30 days in that 30-day reporting window to report that for his own PAC and for his own purposes of reporting. However, there's no requirement on when he has to hand you a receipt for that transaction. So that transaction could actually be held off till whenever. And then when you finally do receive the receipt, you have 30 days to report. Now, as that time frame gets tighter, it gets a lot more, you know, difficult to actually see how money moves in and out of campaigns when you're into the 7-day reporting, when you're into 48-hour reporting, because there is no time frame that you actually have to hand that in-kind receipt over for somebody to actually be able to record it and acknowledge it. And I think that's problematic. And so what I noticed at the end of the campaigns, and both and everybody was kind of guilty of it, was this just kind of rush of that final reporting. And so there was a lot of unreported money that really didn't get documented in a timely manner during the campaign process. The other thing that was interesting to me is we document with a highlight, a pink line that is an out-of-state contribution. We don't do anything similar for an in-kind contribution. So say there's a PAC that makes that contribution, nothing other than having to really click into the actual transaction and find in the footnotes that that was an in-kind contribution for someone, you have to really search and dig to be able to see that. And sometimes when you do a search in OrStar to see who's you know, if I was to type in, you know, Representative Garrett, Chris Garrett's name, that is not really searchable if that in-kind notice is, that transaction was conducted on your behalf, if it's really down in the footnote, that's not searchable. So for the average person who's looking for this or media or whoever, it's not easily defined or can be found. And so this bill asks for a speeding up of the in-kind contribution notification once the transaction's actually been conducted, and if somebody is in that 30-day reporting or 7-day reporting or 2-day reporting. I mean, really, if it's in their PAC, somebody else's PAC who the in-kind was for should get notification, and it's really not difficult in the time of electronic communication to send off a note that says, you know, we bought a mailer on your behalf, so that you can then be into that in-kind reporting, because or the your own PAC reporting, because what really winds up happening is a lot of people, what I observed, where there were PACs, a lot of PACs, big PACs, who simply withheld those notifications until such a time that they were ready to announce that they had transacted on somebody's behalf, and then whoever they transacted for really had a lot of time, had their own window of time. So OrStar is wonky, and I'm struggling to explain this, but I'm hoping this makes sense. I should have drawn a map. Timeline.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions, comments? Representative Denbrough.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Parrish. I'm sympathetic to what you're trying to do here. Does it ever happen that a person or an organization who has done the expenditure, the in-kind expenditure, reports before the person for whom it was done?
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen very often?
Well, I think that happens, and the notion of highlighting that transaction to say that this was an in-kind contribution would certainly be a flag to the public, even if somebody else has not reported it in their PAC, as they're just kind of scrolling through, they'd be able to actually see that that was an in-kind contribution, and then trigger them to be able to click to see who for whom that was for.
And if I could follow up, you know, one of the issues that was just raised with the previous bill was the challenge of, you know, for many campaigns of the 2-day reporting, mm-hmm. if, you know, if one has a volunteer treasurer, you know, et cetera, you know, this happening over the weekend or, you know, something like that. So,
sure.
But are you concerned about that problem?
You know, I'm not concerned about that, and the reason why is that this is for 48 hours from the time that it is reported in PAC A. So if PAC A is the person who did the in-kind contribution and they took the time to actually get that contribution into their PAC, then that would trigger a time period to notify the other PAC, which would then put them into their 7-day or 30-day or 2-day reporting to then get that done. So because it's already been reported once somewhere, and they've made that effort to put it into their own PAC, that would trigger a 48-hour kind of start time, if you would, to make that PAC in-kind contribution known to the candidate or the committee for whom you made the contribution, and then you could, and then they would then start that window process. But what's happening now, Representative Denbrough, is that I can make an in-kind contribution to you, I can withhold the receipt for as long as I want, and that campaign transaction, TV, media, whatever, could have been expended and already executed, and until you receive the receipt, that's when the clock starts on how soon you need to get that into your PAC. So what we're trying to do is shorten up that window of how long it's taking to have that transaction be transparent to the public.
Right. No, if I could follow up. Yes. No, but the challenge is if you give me that receipt, then I have to get it to the treasurer or let my treasurer know about it to report within 48 hours. For some campaigns, that could be a problem.
So that's not what this does. This is a transaction's already been transacted. Their PAC gives you the receipt, and then you are within whatever the current timeline is, 30-day, 7-day, 48-hour, as you normally would be when somebody hands you a receipt. So you're already doing that piece. What this bill is attempting to do is tighten up the notification process between a PAC who's done something on your behalf and then the PAC that's the receiving PAC. So this doesn't change you as the end user of I got the in-kind contribution. This is not changing those dates at all.
Representative Berger?
Yeah, like the one before, I've had this happen where the in-kind doesn't, it happened, I knew it happened, but I didn't get a receipt, didn't have anything to report. So mm-hmm. I think she's right. There is a kind of a hole. I don't know if 48 hours or what the right thing is in there, but it would add transparency because they're contributions, but they don't get in there in time. You're right. Good idea.
Well, I mean, Representative Berger, you know, if your treasurer makes the effort to put in, I made an in-kind contribution to, you know, Susie Candidate in her PAC, that treasurer is already engaged with ORSTAR at that point. So then the piece about sending you notification is simply just an email. Hey, we just made a PAC contribution. You can actually go into our PAC and see it so that you can report it into yours. So the communication piece here really should not be onerous. I've talked to my own treasurer about this at length, and you know, so that notification piece is really about so you can respond, and they're already in ORSTAR making that happen. And then the other piece is that highlighting. So we already, like I said, highlight pink for out of state. This would be purple or blue. I don't really care what the color is, but just something that denotes to the general public that and as a PAC did something on behalf of another political action committee, be it candidate or ballot measure or what have you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Are you suggesting any PAC-to-PAC exchanges, whether it be in-kind or otherwise, be highlighted with a different
color? Anybody who's going to report an in-kind to ORSTAR, and sometimes that's not always a PAC, so that could be, you know, somebody who just writes a check and they're reporting that.
Follow-up. So you're saying in-kind, not just PAC-to-PAC?
Yes, in-kind. This is for in-kind.
Mr. Chair, that would have to be a discussion with the Secretary of State's office, how many colors they have.
That is true. I talked to Secretary Brown about can we add another color. It didn't seem like that was going to be hugely difficult.
Did you have another question? Okay. Representative Holby.
Thanks. This does sound like a good idea. I was kind of curious about the delivery of the notice because you mentioned email, and it's really not spelled out in the bill how you deliver notice. And so I would, maybe there's rulemaking so the Secretary of State can figure that out or at least describe what notice actually is, I think, is, you know, does it include email? Does it have to be by first class mail or, sure, you know, whatever? But I think that should be defined, I think, anyway.
And Representative Holvey, I don't believe that's currently defined. I mean, mm-hmm. we can get those notifications. I've gotten them in the mail. I've had them handed to me. I've had them via email. So I think we kind of currently already do that in the current in-kind notification. It's just, you know, the person who's contracted and done an in-kind for your behalf, for example, would just need to find a way to get that to you a little quicker, and certainly an email with a PDF scan of whatever it is that they're in-kinding. You know, we can currently do that.
I guess that's a question for the Secretary of State. Does email suffice for their notification?
I think we might want to bring them back up before we adjourn to weigh in on that. But Representative Parrish, I think we're done
okay.
with you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Let's close the public hearing on House Bill 2419. Reopen the public hearing on House Bill. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3382. And reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2419. And we have three witnesses, Noah Monger, Evan Preston, and Kathy Eaton, please. And then at the end, if you would be willing to come back, Brenda, to talk about these bills. Thanks.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee. For the record, again, my name is Noah Monger, and I am with the Bus Project. And here again to testify on this bill, to encourage you to support HB 2419 to increase the transparency of Oregon's elections, build faith in our public institutions, and as Representative Matthews said, to keep the ball moving forward on campaign finance reform in the state. Representative Matthews said pretty much everything I was going to say. We'll give a figure. In the final 14 days of an election, we see a lot of financial activity. In 2012, in that two-week period, over $6.1 million was contributed to or transferred between campaigns or between PACs in amounts over $1,000 in those final 14 days. And that's just a lot of money for to be going around and at a time when thousands of Oregonians are turning in their ballots every day. Completely agree with the concerns about what this does and the burden it might put place on our the good people who work on our campaigns, whether they're paid or unpaid, and definitely open to friendly amendments to make sure that we're not hamstringing those hardworking folks. But at the core of it, we really just believe that it's not asking too much for campaigns to report their largest contributions on a shorter timeline so that we all can make better informed decisions as voters. HB 2419 is a small fix, but one that continues to move Oregon's already great transparent elections further into the sunlight. Thanks.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee. My name is Evan Preston. I'm a fellow at OSPIRG, the statewide public interest organization. OSPIRG does not support House Bill 2119 because it creates more loopholes for campaign finances and decreases some current disclosure requirements. OSPIRG believes transparency is necessary, though not sufficient, for ensuring the public's faith in our democratic institutions. Now, voters have a right to know who is funding a particular candidate or campaign so that they can make an informed decision about how to cast their ballot. Despite 2419's increased disclosure requirements for contributions of more than $1,000 during the last 14 days of an election, contributions just under $1,000 made during these last 14 days would not be disclosed before the election. So under this rule, a potentially unlimited number of checks written for, say, $999 could be used to channel funds to a candidate without the knowledge of voters. Now, given the civic value of transparency and the capabilities afforded to us in our digital era, Oregon should be moving as closely as possible to instantaneous disclosure. So there's no good reason to decrease current existing disclosure requirements. Now, House Bill 2419 does this by lowering the reporting requirement from 7 days to 14 days after receipt of contributions for those contributions that are under $1,000 during the last 42 days of an election. Consequently, OSPIRG does not support House Bill 2419 because it creates these extended loopholes for campaign finances and weakens those certain disclosure requirements. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Garrett, members of the committee. My name is Kathy Eaton. I represent the League of Women Voters. Two or three comments. We believe that voters need to have easy access to transparency with regard to campaign spending and expenditures. 2419 mandates the reporting of contributions and expenditures exceeding 1,000 within 2 days if the receipt is on or after 14 days prior to the election. We feel that that's a very important improvement for that kind of activity that's already been pointed out to you with the amounts of money that come in those last 14 days. And so we believe that two days of reporting is very necessary. We believe that that this speaks to the voters' right to know. We also prefer that the reporting that shortens the reporting period from 7 days to two, that we would prefer that the reporting deadline within 42 days that you were referring to should be left at 7 days rather than lengthening it to 14. That's under Section 1, Paren 3, Paren A of this bill. And we feel that we should leave it at 7 days and not lengthen that reporting time. It's important for people to know.
Thank you. Panel, any questions? Representative Holby.
Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment about more transparency quicker. It seems like an easy thing to ask for, but I will say that speaking from somebody who is their own treasurer, because I usually can't afford to hire one, that as a candidate, I will be spending a lot more time doing reporting instead of being a candidate, and will be forced to figure out how to hire somebody to do this for me, which in some races is kind of tough to do, because they, I guess the only good thing about it is I probably don't get a lot of $1,000 checks in the last 14 days, so I might be off the hook there. But I support the concept, but I think this bill was put out there with increasing from 7 to 14 to kind of balance out, the requirement on a citizen legislature, for example, where we may not be wealthy enough to pay for somebody to keep track of a pretty specific and complex set of reporting requirements. And so it takes a while to learn those. It's not something even my CPA can figure out. And she refuses to be my campaign treasurer because of the liability, and I've lost a couple of other volunteer campaign treasurers because they can't figure it out. So, I just wanted to just offer that because I think there is a balance in this bill somewhere that should be considered.
Mr. Chair, I want to go on record as supporting an amendment that would keep the name of my wonderful volunteer campaign treasurer secret from Representative Holby so he doesn't try and steal him.
That might be an unfriendly amendment. Any other questions?
Perhaps Representative Holby could have more credible campaigns, and then he could have more opportunities to report. I'm open to that.
All right. Thank you, panel. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Jensen had a question.
I just was going to comment to Representative Berger to understand that there's two people trying to steal him now that I heard about it.
I think you're excused. Testimony, but I'd like to invite the representatives from the Secretary of State's office to come back and maybe take any additional questions that committee members have on the bills. What was the most recent one? Somebody had a question.
24, 19.
Oh, yeah, you had a question.
I forget which bill it's on, Mr. Chair. Thank you, though. So some background. This is kind of getting at the volunteer scenario. What happens if a volunteer treasurer or a non-volunteer treasurer at this point fails to meet a deadline? Could you explain to us what the consequence is currently, which we'd be contemplating, I think, in terms of if we extended or delayed these deadlines? What happens?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hicks, for the record, my name is Brenda Bays with the Secretary of State Elections Division. It depends on how many days late they are. They may or may not be assessed a penalty for the amount of days they are late in filing the transaction. However, if the amount of the penalty is $50 or less, that penalty is waived.
Mr. Chair, if I could speak to this, it has been my experience that you get fined and your volunteer treasurer feels terrible because you're then expending money that was contributed to your campaign for the fine, and it's thing. And if it's very many days and very much money, it adds up very quickly. But I think we capped it at 5,000 or something.
That is correct.
By the way, are all these time limits, they're calendar days? So, for example, under this legislation, House Bill 2419, cutting it down to 2 days, would that be calendar days, right? Or is that business days?
Mr. Chair, are you referring to it during the legislative assembly? It's two business days?
No, I mean if you're within the final 14 days of an election under House Bill 2419 and you have a contribution over $1,000 and would be required to do, I'm just looking at our description, it says within two calendar days. So I'm wondering if there's a way to address Representative Berger's situation about having somebody have to work on Sunday morning to get a contribution posted.
I wouldn't be able to go to church.
Mr. Chair, it is two calendar days. So.
Is that the case with these requirements generally, or do we sometimes have business days?
Mr. Chair, I believe the only business days is during the legislative assembly time frame. The rest are calendar days. ORSTAR is based on a calendar year. And depending on if there's a primary or general election, reporting your contributions and expenditures shortens that time frame. But everything in ORSTAR is based on the calendar year.
Okay. And on that, on the issue of calendaring, I also wanted to ask Ms. Saller to clarify something that Representative Jensen had asked about under a different bill. Which bill did this come?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, under the independent expenditure bill, Representative Jensen raised an issue as to why it was $750 for calendar year versus an election cycle. And so if you wouldn't just mind clarifying which other reporting deadlines are based on calendar year or spending minimums based on calendar year and which ones are based on election cycle and whether or not this type of deadline or reporting amount fits into one of those categories.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, so as I stated, ORSTAR is based on the calendar year. Depending on when the election cycle begins, it shortens the time frame from either the 7 calendar days, 42 days prior to the election, or you're in the 30-day calendar period. It would be preferable in the independent expenditures if they were on that same cycle as committees are currently on. Mm-hmm. So if you could have the same kind of reporting cycle for them as you do currently for political committees, it would all be the same.
So the bill as drafted maintains consistency with that?
Mr. Chair, it does not.
Okay. Understood. That's helpful. Thank you. Representative Kennemer?
Mr. Chairman, you were talking about consequences. Fortunately, I've had very few. We really work on reporting correctly. But in Clackamas County, for example, it's seldom that there is a sanction by the Secretary of State's office that does not make front page news in the local newspapers. And that's considerably more impact than the fine generally. So I just, it's sort of self-policing in that regard.
Representative Hicks, and I think just for the sake of the record, I think we're only technically open on one bill, but we're having kind of a free-ranging conversation. So I'm going to open public hearing on House Bill 2018, 2419, 3028, and 3382. Go for it.
I mean, yeah, so let's say we implement one of those for the two-day period, let's say, and then somebody's computer crashes or the scanner doesn't work or something happens. I mean, then they come back 3-4 days after they were supposed to contact Secretary of State. Can they appeal that? Can they get out of it somehow? What happens? They say, I'm just a volunteer?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hicks, there are other avenues they could take. They could come into our office if they're close mm-hmm. enough, file their transactions. We have a computer up front that we allow individuals to use if they need to, and our staff is more than welcome, more than happy to assist them file those transactions. We do that often. Unfortunately, unless it's a filing officer error or something to that effect, there is no waiving of the lateness of a transaction or insufficient filing.
Follow up. And then, so they can't mail it to you. The electronic is the option available, and that's it. They can't just put it in.
Correct. It's electronically by statute.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Holby.
Thank you. Just a comment. I believe it was the legislature that moved it to electronic only. And I will say, because I've spent a lot of time on the phone, being my own treasurer, calling Secretary of State Election Division, saying, okay, help me get this entry into my OraStar system. And they really are accommodating and do a very good job of trying to keep me from getting fined, because, you know, they realize there's not a lot of money in that campaign account.
Thank you.
For the asking for a budget increase, just to deal with you. Any further questions for this panel? All right, thank you very much for your help. That completes our work. I'm going to close all the public hearings that I just opened, and we are adjourned. See you Wednesday for PERS discussion.